these children and the program is the future, right? Not just for our workforce, but in general. So being able to help you in that mission, I appreciate the opportunity.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and Chief Goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today, we are going to be talking about industry partnerships as positive disruptors and how we think about the concept of what is school and why does it matter. And joining us today is Cassandra Wilson, Human Capital Manager in the Government and Public Services area of Deloitte. So Cassandra, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We're really excited to have you. And just to set a bit of context for our listeners as we get started here, PASS Foundation has been partnered with Deloitte for several years now, and it is a really amazing partnership. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts and talk about the things we do together and why. But first and foremost, Deloitte provides a wide variety of services for a range of industries. And whether they're helping transform organizations, protecting financial markets, or working with governments to support societies, there is no end to the impact they make each day. And Deloitte has a focus on corporate citizenship and an impactful partnership with PASS Foundation. So let's start with just recognizing our listeners come to us from all over the world. And so give us the 100,000 sort of foot view of like what is Deloitte? We understand from that intro about what's important to Deloitte, but what kind of company is Deloitte?
Yeah, absolutely. So at its largest, Deloitte is a professional services firm. So this is across our globe. We provide consulting support and tax and audit services. So anything a client could need in any of those realm of services, we provide based on need. So they come to us and we try to solve those problems. I specifically am in our consulting practice, and most of the practitioners that support the PASS Foundation come from our Columbus consulting office. So that just means we're providing consulting services for either commercial or government and public service clients.
And so let's talk a little bit about the sort of functionality, I guess, as it relates to the work that you do with the PASS Foundation. So I guess first and foremost, so what attracted Deloitte to what we're doing? So why do you want to get involved with an organization like ours?
Yeah, I think at its foundation, the support you're providing students, specifically the program we're supporting in workforce development, while we all want to support our community and have those altruistic needs to satisfy, there's also that selfish aspect of we're shaping our future workforce before they come to us. So we know the type of practitioner we're looking for, and the program you are developing and delivering is getting them ready to show up on day one the best that they can. And that's something that, without question, we want to help you and support you in.
And so when you talk about the Deloitte staff, consultants, team, however, you know, it's pretty complex, right? You know, when that gets deployed in a community to work with a school, a nonprofit, any of those types of things, you know, and obviously, yes, you are building future workforce. And that's obviously what I talk to potential partners about all the time as well. But really, at the heart of it, what's in it for Deloitte? Outside of, yes, we're priming the workforce pipeline, but I would argue there's probably a greater impact on the company locally, so the Columbus Group, right? So there has to be some sort of even exchange. And that's what I always try to tell our K-12 folks, you know, when they talk to me about, well, how do we get more industries to really be part of what we're doing? And I say, well, you know, you have to understand everybody has to get something out of this. And there are positive impacts that go both ways. So I'm super curious, Cassandra, when you think about outside of priming the pipeline for yourself, what are the folks there at Columbus Deloitte? I mean, what are they talking about when you come to the program and then you go back and talk with each other about the things that you've seen or the experience you have? How does that impact you directly?
So the way that we're set up, any effort or any time I'm spending with you is in addition to my projects or my client work. So I have my 40-hour job, and then things we want to do that's extra, that's something that we're choosing to give our energy and our time to. So whether that is a nonprofit organization or it's something else, we're in the community developing business, whatever it is, those are your specific choices that you're making to do with what you will. So when we started working with PAST, I, as an individual, had an interest in working with children and helping them figure out their pathway through whatever they were interested in. I was a first-generation college student, and the idea of people maybe being confused or not having immediate access to the resources they need can be extremely overwhelming, and it's something that I wanted to fix. So I was not in a position to do that in my day job, so I had an extra opportunity to do that, and luckily I got connected with PAST immediately. So I want to do it because I care about the mission that your organization is doing, but I don't work for you and I'm not in a nonprofit organization myself. So it's something that the people I interact with, like, we all have that altruistic desire, but we found ourselves maybe in a position that's not doing that full time, and we're using it to satisfy our extra time or our extra commitments. And when we joined Deloitte, we were promised that we would be given an opportunity to do these types of things with the firm's resources. And it was important to us when we signed up that we were able to spend our extra time and energy with things that fulfilled us maybe outside of our 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really wonderful. And we appreciate it so much. And the reality is this partnership that we have, Deloitte, it's really robust. We have gotten so much out of it as an organization. We know our kids have benefited so much from it as well. So I'm glad to hear that there's a social element that on the flip side, right? Because we don't always see that, right? You know, what's happening internally to those business or industry partners, or how does, you know, the relationship they have with us really sort of have a positive impact. You want those impacts to go both ways. So let's talk a little bit, Cassandra, about the actual programmatic work, how you work with PAST. So can you share with our listeners some examples? Because it's been several things over the last couple of years, and it has more. So share the journey with us.
Yes, absolutely. We were connected with you all probably about 3 years ago at this point. So I know John Way, our Columbus office leader, was connected with Nikki just one off, and it was like 2 weeks before the workforce development program was starting for the summer. So we did not have a ton of time to prepare, but we ended up showing up for a one-day delivery on human-centered design. What does it mean to keep humans at the forefront when you're thinking about solutions or innovation, and how do you keep people ahead of technology when you're thinking about design and what that looks like? So I think it was like an hour or 2 hour presentation. And when we left, we had made the commitment that we would be back next summer. We had a blast and we really enjoyed just being in the classroom and doing something that we don't normally do, but sharing a message that we knew was impactful for them and things that we know really well, right? We're subject matter experts in that area, and we felt confident delivering that message. So we left. I met with Nikki and your team probably 4 months later to plan our next summer. And we came up with the idea to deliver basically a fake consulting project. And the students would show up on day one and we would take them through a scenario where they started day one, they got the job, and they worked all the way through client delivery on a business case. And it was on cryptocurrency and how you could implement cryptocurrency and virtual reality and then use it in real life. So that was our first time showing up one day a week for 6 weeks. And then every morning we'd focus on those fundamental workforce skills, and then we'd take them through their business case in the afternoon. And it was amazing to see the transformation the students made. They pitched our client solutions and it was just great. So we replicated that again this summer and came to you for another one day a week delivery for 6 weeks, focusing on AI and what that means for the future of the workforce. And we've been continuing conversations in various ways. So I know most recently we've been working with Marcy and how we can help the partnership with UC and standing up a micro school focusing on IT. That is not a formalized situation yet, but I appreciate that she trusts our relationship enough to come and ask us those types of questions.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the big value adds, right? Over time, as relationships evolve and develop, it's like, okay, we've been doing this one thing and this one thing has been awesome, right? And in this case, you know, and honestly, it's a lot of fun because I will bump into those kiddos all summer long, right? And, you know, what are you working on? And invariably, I heard a lot this summer about their AI project that they were doing with Deloitte. And the kids love it, right? Because it's real, it's relevant, and they feel empowered, right? And so that's super, super powerful. And I think that as relationships evolve and really become established, it's one of those really awesome things to be able to say, okay, what more can we do? Not what more in the sense of, you know, how do I tap in or task this partnership? It's not that. It's like, you know, there is so much skill at Deloitte. I mean, honestly, Deloitte actually is a really interesting company because you do so many different things because of the way you serve your own clients, that it really creates an interesting opportunity to say, as we design and develop new things, is there a place or a role or an opportunity for this industry partner that can really sort of change the way we think about the design and development of the program itself. Mm-hmm. And so with the micro school, that's a really interesting sort of element, right? Because I know that one of the things that we desperately need or will need as that program progresses is the ability to have meaningful things for the students to engage in, to take those skills they're learning in the classroom and then apply them to projects. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, Cassandra, when you had the opportunity to work with these kids, whether it's in the summer program or upcoming potentially in the micro school, where do you see the greatest student growth from participating in projects like what you're talking about?
I think it can be overwhelming when you start telling a teenager, 15 to 18 year old, that they're preparing for their first day in the workforce, right? What does that even mean when you show up to work in a professional environment? But I think once they start realizing it's actually just being a good professional and having the self-awareness to do your best and try your best, it gets a lot less overwhelming. So yes, I'm teaching you how to write an email, but it just means you're putting your best foot forward when someone comes across your note in their inbox. Like, how do you show up every day as the best version of yourself so that people begin to trust you and you become a good coworker and you become a good team member? And once you start breaking it down very fundamentally, I think they get a lot less overwhelmed that, like, I can do this. I can show up at work and be a good employee. It just means that I'm listening and I'm following instructions and I know how to digest information and I can think logically. And those are all of the things you're setting them up for, and they don't even know it until they start applying it in practice. And you start making it less scary. So I think the growth from day one to even like that 6-week delivery, watching those students be able to stand up, give me a client presentation on an AI solution. And we talk a lot about executive presence. Like, you were confident when you did that. You incorporated all of your team members. You were able to start a team from 0 to 6 people and immediately integrate yourself and create an impactful solution and explain it very clearly. Like, all of those fundamental skills is amazing to watch from day one to the last day of their project, that they have the confidence and they could walk into any room and to deliver this thing that they've been working on, and they could do it really, really confidently.
Yeah, it is fun to watch that transformation happen, right? Yeah, it's really a lot of fun.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
I'm curious, though, from your perspective, what surprised you? You know, it's different when you work with kids than when you work with your own industry partners or clients. And so I'm really curious about what surprised you about this experience for yourself.
I don't know what I expected, right, out of these AI presentations. AI is not my subject matter expertise. I am in human capital and I focus on people all the time. But it comes up obviously every day now how it's going to impact our workforce and what that means. The solutions each of them gave, they were all different, right? They picked an industry that they were interested in, whether it was healthcare, law enforcement, transportation, and we told them to take a problem and to solve it with their solution. The winning team picked healthcare and they were an AI team, but they were using AI to solve racial biases in the healthcare space. So they took my problem and then they applied it to a disadvantaged group. And I didn't expect a lot of the presentations lean towards solving a problem in a better way to like make the world better. And I don't know that I didn't expect that, but the overwhelming majority of them were taking something and trying to improve the lives of others in a meaningful way outside of just process improvement or making our client happier because we were making them more money. And it was amazing to see them all leaning in towards something that was STEM-based, but it was solving a problem for a group of people that maybe they were directly tied to or had interacted with. So it was cool to see, like, if this would have been applied, the good that they were trying to accomplish.
Do you think, since so much of your own work is really around, you know, that sort of human capital and, you know, human strategies around talent and whatnot, do you think that the way this particular group of kids leaned in was generational? Do you think this is just a Gen Z thing? Or is there something more at play?
I definitely think it's generational. Deloitte actually does an annual study on like millennial and Gen Z's approach to purpose in the workplace. And I think what millennials are our largest generation in the workforce. Yeah, but when you add us to Gen Z, we're taking up over half, right? And we want to work in places that are making a meaningful impact. And not only do we want to work there, but we will turn down opportunities when we are not getting that. And we're the first generations, I think, that are either feeling empowered enough to do that or have the opportunity to do that. And I absolutely think it is generational because it's not just like, oh, in our free time, we're going to try to do better. Like, I'm going to make it my priority to find opportunities to do better. So yes, I think it is an incredible generational shift, applying, not only going to work every day, but doing it because we feel it's making an impact.
I love that for starters, but I really appreciate it as well, because I think that that is a really important thing for folks in K-12, especially folks working in K-12 and that intersection with workforce development, to really understand, you know, what students want to learn and how they then apply what they learn is very, very different with this group of students. And so they are going to go out and approach things very differently. And they are very interested in what is my give in the world.
Right.
I think that for one of the things that's super fascinating to me is when I have conversations with them, this particular group of kids that you were working with this summer, they will never tell you what they expect, but they will tell you what they can contribute, which I thought is super interesting. It's definitely a shift in what I've seen over the years. And to your point, I think it's a positive shift.
Yeah. They won't tell you what they expect in terms of outcome, but they'll tell you what they can give to the process.
Yeah. You know, it's just an interesting way for them to approach the founding of the problem, right? So, you know, oftentimes we start with, here's what we need to get out of this. On the flip side, I think they come to solving a problem saying, hey, this is what I'm super interested in. This is what I'm passionate about. And this is what I have to give. And then those elements, I think, influence then the way they approach getting to the outcome.
Absolutely. And that makes them incredibly strong team members when they're able to articulate the strength that they're contributing. Like, I might not be able to solve 100% of the problem, but here's the very specific skill set I can provide and the thing that I'm excited to provide, which makes all the difference when you're trying to work towards a common goal.
So I'm also really curious about the way that Deloitte or other industries think about sustainability as it relates to getting involved in programming. Because that's not the business of Deloitte, right? And so how do you think industry partnerships really sort of think about the way, well, you talked about the why you get involved, but how do you think about the way you get involved and what can that mean for long term?
Yeah.
Or short term for that matter, right? Because not everything has to be long term by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm just really, really curious because honestly, you know, people come and go, folks can get burnout, you know, a program can be overwhelming. So how do you, as a sort of company culture, sort of think about things like that?
Yeah, I think from the Deloitte perspective, right? Corporate citizenship and giving back has been ingrained in the company DNA since they started. So we offer every level of that, depending on the level of commitment you as a practitioner want to provide. So like we have an annual day, one day a year. If that is the most you want to contribute, then you have that opportunity one day a year to shut your laptop, and we go out into the community and we support our local community nonprofits or organizations. And you can do 8 hours and you've done your check the box. I feel really good about this and my commitment. And then you are encouraged to differentiate yourself in any way you want by that next level of commitment, right? So say we all showed up with that one day, what did I do outside of that that I can tell a story around to say, like, I went out to my community and took a skill that you've given me as a company and been able to turn that back around and make it do good for someone else. That does get overwhelming, right? Like I said, I work with past in my extra time because I care about the organization and the students, but that is in addition to the work I have to do. So the boundaries and the time commitment are all internal to what you want to give and what you want. There's no expectation from anyone in my Columbus office that I have to do this. And I think that's actually what keeps me from burning out or for overburning, right? It's a complete choice. So from the sustainability perspective, I know that I have the support at any moment to call someone and say, I love past and I love what they're doing. I no longer have time or energy to commit to it, and someone else will take it for me because we know what you're doing. We've adopted the foundation into our corporate citizenship portfolio because we know how important it is. So I think I'm able to do the amount of work we have been doing because I know no matter what, if I did need support, I could get it at any moment. So Deloitte as a structure prioritizes that support and has set it up in a way to make it successful. And I think that just goes back to how important it is to us in that extra time. So from a sustainability perspective, because it's ingrained from day one of how important it is and that it's a choice, it doesn't ever feel like too much.
Right. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome, right? But it also
question. But I do feel
no.
About that.
Yeah, no. You did answer the question. I appreciate it very much because I think that, you know, it's really interesting. So when you have conversations with industry partners, especially industry partners that haven't yet engaged with us as a nonprofit, or I also hear the same sort from our school partners, right, who are trying to get some local business or industry to engage with them in a meaningful way. Sometimes those relationships they're only transactional, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's honestly, that doesn't really make a huge difference in most cases, right? Because the transactional nature of some of those partnerships or relationships, it might get you a thing in the moment, but it doesn't actually make a huge difference long-term, which is one of the reasons why I was really intrigued and interested in this conversation, because the relationship that we have with Deloitte, it's not transactional, right? It's programmatic, and it's deeply ingrained, right? You bring your skill set, and everybody who comes and participates in the program, you have this great set of knowledge that you have, and you're so willing and able to not just talk about it, but literally to share an experience with the kids. Because that really, when you know, you were talking about that journey and the kids, you know, getting ready and doing these pitches, if you will, for these solutions. I mean, you spent a lot of time. You went on the journey with those individual kids. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to see, you know, just the substantial growth and all of those things. But that's not always the case. And I hear our K-12 partners in particular talk about that they cannot figure out how to meaningfully engage. And one of the things I often will share with them is, well, you have to step back and think about it from the industry perspective, right? They need to get something out of this relationship as well. And it can be all kinds of things. So, you know, when you think about it that way, you know, I guess one of the things that I'm curious about is, you know, what advice would you have outside of, you know, what I've been telling our K-12 partners about how to go about starting those new relationships with just local business and industry, you know, adjacent to the school or in the neighborhood or whatever that might happen to be?
So I think there's two pieces of it. It is the benefit side, right? Like, what is that industry partner going to get out of this? Is it the pipeline? Is it access to our other clients? Is it understanding how we're receiving our funding and what that means to partner with us and those benefits? But like, if Nikki wouldn't have been as amazing as she was and built a personal connection with me, I would be 1,000% less inclined, right? It is about the personal connection of like, I want her and her program to do well because I care about the outcome and what it means for her and for past and the future of past. It started with just that connection, right? Her sharing her passion for the program to me and me sharing the passion that I have with the talent in our space, while it is a widely different way we show up to work, we had a common goal of like, I want my team members to come get an impactful experience. She wants her students to receive an impactful experience. So we found a mutually common goal and we were able to do it together because we respected what each other were bringing to the table. So while I think, yes, we want to get something out of it, everyone wants to receive a benefit, it has to start at that, like find the one person within that industry, go through the org chart, find the person maybe in corporate citizenship. Like they're going to be the ones that you want to target because they care about those programs. Because if not, even if I'm getting something out of it and I'm not talking to the right person, I'm not able to translate that message. So I will say your staff, every time I talk to them, the way that they articulate what they're trying to accomplish resonates deeply with not myself, only myself, but all of the team that supports. And I think that should not be overlooked because that personal connection and tapping into the reason for support comes before. And if you do this, you'll get this amazing thing in return.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that because I think you're absolutely right. You know, sometimes when I have conversations with our industry partners, it's fascinating because oftentimes what happens is that an industry partner will hear nonprofit and the first place they go is corporate philanthropy.
Yeah.
And I am like, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's fine. And there's lots of places and reasons for corporate philanthropy to do X, Y, and Z. But typically what we're interested in, and I think this applies more broadly to the education space, is often I think that what you're really talking about is emerging workforce development. And I think that's a completely different corporate conversation, right? And that could lead to a different type or style of partnership, which is really what, you know, you've been articulating here in our conversation. So I do truly, truly appreciate the way you're thinking about that. So my last question, I want to be super mindful of your time, is, you know, so you've done this a couple of years now, and not to put you on the spot, because I know there's lots of work and meetings that will happen around thinking about what next year looks like, but just like, you know, like pie in the sky. If Nikki said, Cassandra, you just design it, which I know that's not how it works because it's a partnership. You guys work on it all together. But what are you intrigued by? Like what would you like to see happen that we haven't done yet together?
Yeah, I think the subject matter expertise, like you said, from our company alone, we could cover any topic, right? There are aspects of that we can't deliver. You are partnering with other financial companies or other young leaders of America. Like you're bringing in all types of support. And if they could show up one day a week for 6 weeks also, and we could cover programming from A to Z, and you had industry partners in there every day taking the onus of delivering content that we think will be helpful for our workforce in the future, we would have new hires at the end of their 6 week delivery, right? If we could take programming and cover every aspect of like workforce and what it means to be a professional. And from Monday through Friday, all you're doing is putting your head down and learning not only STEM, but what it means to be in the workplace. I think that would be even more remarkable than what is happening now.
I love that. And I think we should try to figure out how to make that happen next summer. So that's good. That's a note to Nikki.
Yes, yes. Forward.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. Cassandra, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to sort of share what's going on with the partnership that PASS Foundation has with Deloitte. And we really, really appreciate this partnership very much. But more importantly, I just appreciate your insights and your willingness to sort of share the journey with our listeners. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. I don't think it'll be groundbreaking for anyone who's listening or you and I that these children and the program is the future, right? Not just for our workforce, but in general. So being able to help you in that mission, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.